Welcome to this recorded session from the 2025 American Craft Sake Festival, hosted by the Sake Brewers Association of North America and Origami Sake in Hot Springs, Arkansas. In this session, you'll hear from Chiaki Takahashi, owner and master brewer of Island Sake Brewery, exploring the science behind sake aromas, how they form, when they develop, and why they matter to the final character of your brew. During the live presentation, Chiaki shared real samples of aromatic compounds for attendees to smell and experience firsthand. While you won't be able to smell along with the recording, you should still find a wealth of practical information to help minimize common off-flavors and maximize desirable aromas in your own sake. If you enjoy this session and want to stay connected with Sabana for future festivals, conferences, and resources, visit sakeassociation.org to join our newsletter, or follow us at Sake Association on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn. Without further ado, let's listen to Chiaki Takahashi's presentation, Aroma of Sake.
All right, everyone. So our next presentation is going to come from Chiaki Takahashi. She is the owner and master brewer of Island Sake, the only sake brewery in Iowa. The only sake brewery in Hawaii. Previously a researcher at the National Research Institute of Brewing in Hiroshima, an associate professor at the Okayama University of Science and the Wine Fermentation Technology Center at Yamanashi University. Currently engaged in research on how to apply stress to microorganisms to enhance aroma and flavor. Additionally, she's focusing on controlling fermentation in warm climates as a key factor in sake production. So we have a wealth of knowledge from her today, and she'll be focusing on the aroma compounds of sake with some sake aroma samples for you to get some nasal experience as well. Chiaki will, I'm sure, explain as she goes through, but we'll be putting samples along the edges of the tables here as she goes through her presentation for you to actually smell. So just look towards the end of your table as they come down.
Okay. Hey, good morning. My name is Chiaki. First, I wanted to say I cannot English very well, so just like a children, maybe, but I really want you enjoy the aroma sample this morning. So let's start. Today I bring 10 different kinds of aroma sample, and these the aroma is we can feel like in a sake, but the aroma itself is coming from the many process, and so the first I and then today I put some animation, the manga, and then so I put this, and this is in the fermentation. Do you understand? So, first I want to introduce the aroma. Is the number one is 4VG. Do you know that the name of the aroma?
Right.
It's a smoky aroma. It's an aroma. It's a, and then clove-like or a Chinese medicine. So, please.
Yeah, if you can pass on from here to this way, like one by one, yeah. Once you smell it, and then just pass on to the next.
And this aroma is produced by Koji fungus, and also the wild yeast, and some other bacteria. But I think the most big, the main microorganisms is a wild yeast, I think. So if the cold room is clean, and we cannot create this aroma. But if the cold room is dirty, or the clothes is dirty, we can create this aroma. This is a old flavor, but some jumaishu is a positive smell, but too much is old flavor. But some old gentlemen like this flavor. So, yeah. So I don't know if you like it or not, but this is from the Kojiru. And in Koji production, another the smell is a 1-octane-3-0, which is a mushroom-like aroma. This is the Koji making process is so long. You can feel like a end of the fermentation. So, but this is not influenced to the sake making. So you can just smell at the end of the Koji making. But that is the Koji power is a little bit weak. And another smell is a natto like flavor, but maybe you don't know that natto flavor. You know? That is not so good smell, but you can hear that like at the Koji making, but that is also not influenced to the sake making, so just smell. But if the natto like smell, the rice is too steaming, or the room is too humid. That is occur that this smell. And then the second flavor is the ethyl acetate. This is a very famous flavor in usually ginjo flavor. But the same, it's very similar aroma is next to the isoamyl acetate. Isoamyl acetate and then ethyl acetate is very, very similar flavor. But ethyl acetate is a more light banana flavor, light. And then isoamyl acetate is a little young banana. That means young banana is more elegant aroma than light banana, that is ethyl acetate. And ethyl acetate is usually the all the sake we can smell, but and then it gives a fruity and refreshing flavor, but sometimes wild yeast tend to produce a large amount of the ethyl acetate. That is very not elegant. It's very strong. So if you feel like that very strong light banana, that is some wild yeast is creating in the sake. But if you feel like it's very young, green banana smell, that is produced in the yeast during the fermentation.
Okay, number three.
Can you feel that light banana smell in this number two sample? And then now is number three.
Joking.
Are you concentrating these like two or three times more than the normal concentration? Hmm? Are you concentrating the samples extremely high so they?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it like 3, 4, 5? Like how many times more? Or are you just kind of pouring?
That is very concentrated. You usually one sample is one bottle. But today it's very, very concentrated. So it's
okay, so many
pungent.
And number four is a isoamyl alcohol. Mm. And isoamyl alcohol is the magic pens flavor. And this flavor comes from the byproduct of the fermentation, and especially when yeast metabolizes the amino acid lysine. So you can feel like a very strong flavor. If the higher concentration, it becomes the off flavor. And this smell is a low poisoning ratio lice. It's 80% or 90% of the poisoning rate ratio. It's or a high temperature fermentation, just like a 20 or 22 degrees. And also a nutrient-rich environment, so that the water is very strong water. These are tend to the number of the this aroma. It can be like a magic pen. And next is a very famous flavor. You can be here in the Daiginjo nowadays. This ethyl caprolate is also a natural produced by yeast during the fermentation. But recently, the number 18 yeast is making a lot. But number 7 or number 9 is very, very, very little. But if the very low temperature fermentation and using the number 7 or number 9, you can feel like a ethyl caprolate. But usually you can use the number 1801 yeast. And it gives a fruity and elegant bouquet. But if the too much, maybe now is not too much flavor, especially from the Japanese sake. But 2 years or 3 years ago, this flavor is a lot in the tank, in the sake. And then if the too much enter the caprolate and makes caprolate acid. So caprolic acid makes ethyl caprolic acetate, but if the keep in the room temperature storage are longer, ethyl caprolate changes to the caprolic acid. And melon flavor and apple flavor change to the fatty. It's very, very heavy flavors. So maybe 2 or 3 years ago, we create Daiginjo sake, and now a store in 2 and 3 years, you feel like a very heavy, oily flavor. Like a, maybe I said the very animal fat flavor. Next flavor is a caproic acid. It gives a very heavy oily flavor. So we must store it. It's very, very low temperature, and then keep this melon or apple flavor. Otherwise, if the room temperature keep in the 1 year, 2 year, you can feel like a oily, heavy flavor. And then number 7 is a diacetyl, the yogurt or cheese flavor. These are producing during the amino acid metabolism. And if the fermentation, the final fermentation is the final stage of the fermentation, you careful to the pyruvic acid level. So if the yeast is active enough, and then we place a sake, and you after 1 week or 2 weeks, we feel like a yogurt or cheese flavor. But that flavor is like to the women. So many women like to the yogurt flavor. And especially the American people like, I think. So, but if the final is a fermentation, is a final stage, your tongue is the temperature is going down, going down, going down. And then take the sample and then wait 15 minutes. And then, take the sample and then use a coffee filter and then freeze it. And then 30 minutes is just stay in a room temperature. And if you feel like a yogurt or cheese flavor, you must wait until the tank is more lower temperature and keep the yeast is sleeping. Otherwise, the yeast is active, if the pressing active and then pressing after yogurt flavor is occurred. So that is very, very careful. It's a good sake, but if the almoromi is a taste very good, but the pressing after we feel like a yogurt flavor. That is not many times occur.
What?
Right.
Sorry, now I saw you feel like acetaldehyde?
Oh,
that
was the one.
sorry.
That makes so much more sense.
Sorry. next we need
like,
the...
We're all going, maybe it's a super concentrated.
Yeah. Now is you feel like acetaldehyde. Okay. Acetaldehyde is a green apple or sometimes a grape flavor. So, and you can feel like a sparkling sake sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes you can feel like a two flavor, like a sparkling sake. One is acetaldehyde, so grape or green apple flavor, or cheese flavor, yogurt-like flavor. Do you understand? Yeah. Now is a sparkling sake is very good quality, but still you can feel like an acetaldehyde flavor or cheese flavor. That is a very hard technique. It's very, because wine is the yeast is very weak, but sake yeast is very active. So it's very hard to control it. But same that after pressing, you very careful to make create the acetaldehyde.
1번
그거
그거 지하세지.
응, 소리 그거.
오케이.
봐.
야.
So now you feel like a cheese flavor?
Yes.
Cheese smell? Yogurt smell?
Yeah.
And the next, I want to introduce the aging flavor. So the sake is unfortunately, it's very changeable taste. So if the pasteurized, but still sake is a changing taste. And 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, it's very changeable. And the main, some main flavors we can introduce today is DMTS. DMTS is a rotten cabbage, but very, very famous flavor in the aging sake.
This is worse than the
And then final flavor is a soto, is a caramel flavor. If you heat the caramel flavor in an aging sake, sake is a very good quality, very tasty. But if the sotomon is too strong, you can feel the curry flavor. Curry rice is curry flavor. It's very strong, it's a curry. But if a little bit, it's a caramel flavor. It's a vanilla flavor. And then another typical aroma is aging sake. It's honey and soy sauce and dried fruits and brown sugar. And usually these aroma is a mix up. So that sometimes the soy sauce flavor is very strong, and sometimes caramel is strong. Sometimes honey, but honey is usually kijoshu. Kijoshu is very be like a honey flavor. So today, I bring a 10 sample. So if we, and then we have a lot here. So after, before the lunch, please come and then, remember the aroma. It very helps to understand the sake. And so sorry, I cannot speak English very well, but but I hope you enjoy the aroma. And then many other, during the sake making, I feel that many the aroma, especially the first stage of the fermentation, sulfur smell is very important. If the 1801 yeast we use, sulfur smell is coming, it's a good point. After that, we can feel like a lot of pineapple flavor, mango, and lychee, and apple and melon flavor. But number 9 or number 7 is you feel like a sulfur smell. They are very stressed. So you must add the water and go down the temperature. So the sulfur smell is the first stage of the fermentation. Is you feel like the yeast want to something. So so if you make sake, every stage you smell it and you feel like yeast is good enough, is happy. So I always smell the tank, and then always careful to the yeast is activity. Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do you have a question?
I often get a kind of cereal or cornflake.
Cornflake?
Especially from American sakes, not so much from Japanese sakes. Can you speak to that?
I think the American brewery, especially like our brewery, it's very, very small, tiny brewery. The tiny brewery is attend to the steam power of the light steaming power is very weak. So if the not enough the steam and the light is not enough steaming, you can feel like a corn cereal flavor, I think. So but cannot change the power of the steam, so you should more soak the rice. Usually the thickest of the Japanese sake is said 128% to 132% is the soaking, is a rice percentage, but my brewery is usually, if the koji making, 134%. And if kakemai is 136%, sometimes 137%.
which rice is that for? When you talk about the...
if the Yamada Nisuke was a very soft rice.
So American rice?
Yeah, no. If the Japanese rice also. If the soft rice, like Yamada Nisuke, it's a little 136. But if the hard rice, I use a Hokkaido Kitashizuku rice, it's very hard. So that time 137 or 138% is kakemai or shubo rice, not koji rice. Koji rice is 134 is good enough. And then maybe no corn flavor. No more corn flavor. So the American tiny brewery is very careful to the soaking rice more longer than the thickest.
Yeah, earlier you were talking about this, and I remember you mentioned this a lot when I was working with you, is that specifically around diacetyl, when you actually press, could you go over a little bit more in terms of, we used to take samples. When you used to take samples before we would press, you were waiting specifically for the flavor to disappear. You were waiting for the yogurt flavor to disappear before pressing or to appear before pressing. It was to disappear, correct?
If the disappear at the sample.
In the samples, yeah.
Yeah, in the sample.
Yeah.
And then disappear, then pressing.
Yes, okay. That's what I want to go back to, because I thought that was one of the most important things that you were teaching.
Yeah.
Was you take those samples every day nearing pressing time, and then at the moment you no longer get yogurt, then you press.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually if the thickest, you should analyze the pyruvic acid level, but we don't have a chance to analyze usually. So you pick the sample every day and then filter using a coffee paper and filter it, and then clear moromi is put in a room temperature 30 or 40 minutes, and then smell it. And if the cheese flavor, yogurt flavor is waning, the tank temperature is going down more. And if the no longer the cheese flavor, that's timing to pressing. That is very important timing. Yeah, without analyze.
Can you titrate pyruvic acid? Can you titrate pyruvic acid?
No.
No.
Usually no.
No.
Yeah, I always just control specific gravity, and alcohol content only. No acid. Analyze. Nothing.
No.
Human analyze.
Human analyze.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Can you give the brewer some advice on how to maximize aroma in finished sake? So after we press, how do we maintain the good aroma of our sake?
That's a very good question. Unfortunately, if the in the tank, moromi is very good flavor of the fruity flavor, but if the pressing, the fruit flavor remaining just in the sake kasu.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is tend to the low alcohol. If the higher alcohol, if the pressing sake, the aroma is go to sake. But if the alcohol content is lower, tend to go to sake kasu, sake lees, to the aroma. So that in Japan, we can add the Aruten, the alcohol, and then get back to the aroma, to the tank. But usually we do not add in the alcohol, additional alcohol. So if the 14%, I just adjust the 14%, unfortunately, all the good aroma is going to the sake kasu.
So, so are you saying it's better to brew, say, to 16, 17%? And then if you need to, then you do wadimizu.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. But many people like Genshu.
The consumer doesn't know if it's Genshu or not, to be honest.
Yeah, many customers ask me, is this a Genshu? And then also many customers ask me, is this a filter sake? That is very it's very hard question for me. What do you think? The pressing is a filter?
That's the problem with the way the English and everything went.
Yeah.
They think filtered is cloudy or not cloudy, but as we know, sake has to go through quote filtration, but it's really called, should be called pressing.
Mm.
That's what it should be called. And then after that, you have filtration or not filtration.
Mm.
But a general consumer doesn't know that much.
Yeah.
And the way the information's gone out, just the problem, like SMB, consumers found out about SMB, they should have never known about that. Because then they decided to try or not based upon these numbers that are good for brewers. The brewers need them, but the consumer doesn't need them.
Mm.
So
yeah.
It's just a little bit of information can lead down the wrong path, I think. So then they ask questions like that. But I think it was a very good point. If you say to brew your sake at a higher level to maintain those aromas and then just add a little water to bring it back down, that's a better way of maintaining the aromas, is what we want in the final
sake and also the wine is alcohol content is 12 to usually 17 or 18. That is easy to break the aroma content because watery. If the distilled sake, its aroma is a key in a liquor. But usually wine and sake is easy to break down the aroma, especially the good aroma. But and then recently many customers want to a low alcohol sake, but low alcohol is very hard to get aroma in a bottle. So if you want to more aromatic sake, you pick the good yeast.
Mm.
Yeah, because if the same yeast, so people give and then people to give, and then yeast is very easy to change the DNA and tend to the original. So that the aromatic yeast is DNA is changing. But if the give to the people, the brewery is the yeast is easy to DNA is easy to change. And then it's very hard to get a higher level of the aroma. So we can careful pick the aroma at the yeast is good the yeast, and then fermentation is very low temperature, and then also the in the water is a mineral is very important. The mineral level is very low. It's very hard to get the aroma. If the too many element is very also very hard. So we must adjust the good the level of the especially the magnesium, natrium, kalium level. If they're not enough, we cannot get a good aroma during the fermentation.
Can I tell that story of the seawater? Remember the seawater, the deep seawater?
I put in a deep sea water, salty water. And usually, I always make sake. It's a 300 kilogram, so 600 pounds of rice. And then usually the water is 450 liter total water. But that 450 plus 3 or 4 liter of the deep sea water, just sea water, the salty water added. Because my the Hawaii water is so clean, means no minerals, very less minerals. But that time is, especially the 1801 East is very weak, so no minerals is cannot survive until the end of the fermentation. So we added somehow the minerals. But we have good salty water, so I put in just salty water, but only 4 liter to 450 liter, just water. But I think that is not enough to get big aroma. So our sake is not so big aroma. After the sake bed, I bring my sake today. So please enjoy no aromatic sake. But Chase is very elegant, yeah, because the water is so soft. Very less mineral sake create very elegant flavor, like a woman's sake.
Can you speak a little bit about the relationship of aroma and pasteurization, and maybe any pitfalls to look out for in pasteurizations around aroma?
Pasteurization is very, very hard. Especially the big brewery is, nothing problem, I think, no problem. But the small brewery, if the pasteurization is very, very hard, and usually fruity aroma is easy to go on. But if the pasteurization is very quick, and then soon going to the very cold water, and then first 1 month or 2 months is low, aroma is very low, but get back. I don't know why, but maybe you should wait 1 month or 2 months, the aroma is come back. But usually not to 100% back, maybe 70% back, but not 100%, unfortunately. But I think that if the pasteurization, you not different flavor is coming, just low, the volume is down, but no different flavor is created. So just wait 1 or 2 months.
How about the timing of pasteurization? How long after pressing?
That's a very good question. If the press sake and the sake is very good, you should pasteurization is as soon as possible. But if the small brewery like our brewery, usually just pressing and the sediment is going down, but still a little bit the yeast in it. And if the pasteurization is, and then 1 year or 2 years is keeping in the refrigeration, and the yeast is breaking down, and then aroma is changing. So no good flavor is coming. So if the pressing sake, and then sediment is going down, and then perfectly clearing, and then pasteurization. It's good, I think.
Yeah. All right, any other questions? Oh, one last one.
So earlier you mentioned the aromas can get trapped in sake katsu, right? We all know that. One way, you mentioned one method to release those is through aruten. One method to release the aroma is through aruten, right? One way to release the aroma, if it's trapped in sake katsu, or not sake katsu, but if it's trapped, is through aruten before pressing, right? Is there any other methods or tips or tricks that you have to release the aromas?
No.
Beyond aruten?
No. Just aruten is only way to, yeah, to pick the aroma on the rice, surface of the rice. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this session from the 2025 American Craft Sake Festival. We had a great time, and we hope that you learned something new. To stay connected with the Sake Brewers Association of North America and be the first to hear about future events and resources, visit sakeassociation.org to join our newsletter or follow us at Sake Association on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Thanks.